Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Well, it's day one of our Issues Etc. Milwaukee Reformation Tour. We're going to be broadcasting live from Luther Memorial Chapel here in Shorewood tonight, Shorewood, Wisconsin, for the next 2 hours talking about praise and worship music. And I do invite our AM 540 listeners in the greater Milwaukee area to stop by Luther Memorial Chapel's at 3833 North Maryland here in Shorewood. Tonight we talk about praise and worship music. St. Paul writes to the Colossians in the third chapter, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness to God in your hearts." Is he talking about popular modern praise and worship music? It usually is the first thing that someone will hear going into any average evangelical church, 20 minutes of it, before you get to anything other than praise and worship music. And since it is such a big factor, such a big element in what many Christians consider to be the backbone of Christian worship, we're going to take a look at some of the more popular praise and worship songs tonight on Issues Etc. with a regular guest, Dr. Leonard Payton. We are coming to you live tonight, October the 15th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, as usual, you can post questions and comments via the email, even though we are broadcasting from Wisconsin. It's issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Leonard Payton is a regular guest on the program. He's a former church musician. He's pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Horicon, Wisconsin, and he's author of the booklet Reforming Our Worship Music. Dr. Payton, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Good to be with you again, Todd.
Contemporary Christian music has been with the church now for the better part of 30 years. Mm-hmm. After 30 years, how would you evaluate it? Has it been good for the church?
Well, of course, as Christians, we must evaluate something like that from Holy Scripture. And the passage that you read right there at the beginning from Colossians chapter 3 would be a very good place to start. Is it a vehicle by which we can teach and admonish one another with full Christian truth and sing with gratitude in our hearts to God? Does it express clear gratitude for the saving works that he has done for us in Jesus? So that would be an important filter to pass these texts of contemporary Christian music through.
You have said that when you examine popular praise and worship music, the text, the actual words that are being sung, that the pronouns show the entire theology behind this praise and worship music, at least the examples we're going to be looking at.
Sure.
What do you mean by that, the pronouns?
Well, as has been the case, really, for the last 30 years, the pronoun that you see in huge predominance is I, me, my, a first person singular. It's a very individualistic, very privatized kind of religion, and very little of us, we, our. Very, very, very little sense of the church, those whom Jesus has called out to be together, that great throng that you see in the end of time in Revelation, and that you see throughout the epistles, where St. Paul will write, for example, to the believers and, you know, the church in Colossae, the church in Thessaloniki, the church in Philippi, and so forth. The scriptures have a very, very different sensibility about who we are. And that is that first and foremost, we are we, not I, not me and Jesus having my private party. And so this music is very, very individualistic.
I had asked you before, and I don't know if you answered, because you gave the criterion or the criteria that the Bible provides for psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and that is it the word of Christ dwelling richly in us? Is it the message of Christ and him crucified? So given that criterion, has praise and worship music been good for the church in the last 30 years? Yes or no?
I would say no. Very, very little of the cross. Very, very little of sin and redemption. Occasionally mentioned there. And when you talk with the people who sing this music, they presume it. They presume that it is the foundation underneath it, but they are not explicit about it in their song texts, which to me, in a postmodern time, when anybody can make anything mean whatever they want, seems to be a very dangerous direction to go with song text if you're going to follow what St. Paul is telling us, that we must teach and admonish one another with what we sing.
All right, we're going to be doing our evaluation by using some of the more popular examples of praise and worship music, playing a little bit, and we'll be evaluating what is being said in this praise and worship music. The first one we're going to be listening to is called Draw Me Close. Very popular and very familiar to many of our listeners. What should we be listening for before we listen to the opening verses of Draw Me Close?
I would encourage listeners to listen for names of God, actions that God has taken to save us, and see, do those come up? Yeah, that would be the important thing to watch.
Listen for the cross?
Yeah. Listen for the cross. Listen for Jesus. Listen for what God has done.
All right.
See if you hear that.
With that in mind, this is the opening verse of Draw Me Close. Leonard, your thoughts on that, the words that are being sung there according to the criteria that you've laid out, that St. Paul lays out there in Colossians and elsewhere.
Right. I hear nothing of the cross there. I hear nothing of Jesus there. It's very, very nice. It feels good. You're married, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
And
happily.
Good. And when you hear words like this, you are my desire, no one else will do, because no one else could take your place. Who do you think of immediately?
My wife.
I hope so. I hope so. Right. So is this really spoken to God about what he has done for us? There's no overt mention here of what he's done for us at all.
Is that a good general rule of thumb? If I could sing it to my wife and have it make perfect sense, then perhaps it doesn't have the kind of content, the word of Christ dwelling richly in you, that it ought to have for Christians to be singing in worship. 1 minute before we go to our break.
No. Christian music must be Christian. It must say what Christ has done. It must teach Christian truth. This is a very good thing to sing to your wife. And let's call it a love song to my wife. And then sing it. Nothing wrong with that in that context.
Dr. Leonard Payton is our guest. We're talking about praise and worship music tonight on Issues, Etc. Dr. Payton is a former church musician. I guess we should say he still is a church musician. He didn't lose his musical ability or expertise when he became a pastor at St. John Lutheran Church in Horicon, Wisconsin. He's author of the booklet, Reforming Our Worship Music. I want you to join us with your questions and comments tonight as we come to you live from Luther Memorial Chapel in Shorewood, Wisconsin. It's Sunday night, October the 15th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. You can email us in the studio, and we'll get it right here at Luther Memorial Chapel, your questions and your comments, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And as I mentioned before, our listeners on 540, the Word here in Wisconsin, are invited to come out. Luther Memorial Chapel is at 3833 North Maryland in Shorewood. We're broadcasting here for the next hour and 15 minutes from Luther Memorial Chapel. I'll call the numbers again, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, that's just the first example that we have for you tonight as we look at popular praise and worship music. When we come back from this break, we're going to get to the real punchline of Draw Me Close to You, which is the actual refrain, and we'll see what Dr. Leonard Payton has to say.
Our Issues Etc. program is committed to equipping the priesthood of all believers, and that includes young children. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a picture book designed to help you teach your child or grandchild the doctrine of the Trinity. It's called The Apostles' Creed. You can find out more on our website at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Apostles' Creed is written for children ages 5 through 9, and it costs $9.99 plus shipping and handling. The Apostles' Creed by Pastor Jim Gimble, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. Teach your young child or grandchild all about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with the Apostles' Creed by Concordia Publishing House. 1-800-325-3040.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the primary message and major theme of God's Word? The answer comes from Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
The storyline of the Bible from beginning to end is the story of God's plan of salvation. The message of that which the holiness and righteousness of the just God demands, and the way that God has, in His grace, in His undeserved love, met the demands of that law in the person of His Son. Certainly everything else that's in Scripture is important, but everything else ties into and relates to and must be seen from the perspective of that basic primary theme, law and gospel, with the gospel as the fundamental focus of it all.
Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss baptism with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Is baptism a work of God, or is it the work of man? Does God's Word teach infant baptism? And what's the relationship between baptism and evangelism? We'll talk about all of that next week on Issues Etc. Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest. Now, if you'd like to know what we're going to be discussing throughout the fall, check out our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to find out about our monthly or annual donor program. It's called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You can find out how to support this worldwide outreach by becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or we have a new level right on top called the patron. It's the Reformation Club, and the benefits include monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses at our website, issuesetc.org, and help us reach our goal of 300 Reformation Club members by the end of the year, issuesetc.org. Dr. Leonard Payton is our guest. We're talking about praise and worship music. All right, Dr. Leonard Payton, let's see. We're not done with Draw Me Close to You. We heard the verse.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear the refrain, and I'd like your thoughts on the other side. All right, what is this saying? This seems, again, in the vein of something I could sing in a moment of romance to my wife, when it says, "You're all I never needed."
Mm-hmm.
What do you hear in that line, or what don't you hear in that line?
Well, what is it that I needed? Let's state what that is. That's not mentioned in the song at all. Who is the you that that's all I want? Who is that person? You know, in this post-Christian time, when anyone could walk in the doors of our church and hear what we're singing, we better be very clear who the you is that we're talking about. Not mentioned once in this text. Not mentioned once. Help me know you are near. Well, how? Again, the text tells us nothing about how we would know. I mean, we're going to be charitable here for the moment. We're going to say that this is a Christian song. We know this is a Christian song. The you that the person is talking about is Jesus. I mean, let's grant that. Well, help me know you, Jesus, are near. All right? Is that fair enough? Well, then, if that's the case, how do we know that Jesus is near?
How is he near?
How is he near? Well, for example, we know from, say, Galatians chapter 4, where we are clothed with Christ in baptism, that's how we know Jesus is near. We're covered with Christ in our baptism. When Jesus said of a piece of bread and some wine, "This is my body, this is my blood," then you can know that on your tongue, Jesus is very, very near. The song never says that. Never says anything like that.
This is a general principle that I think will emerge as we look at these examples. Mm-hmm. And you note it as well, that often popular praise and worship music, the most egregious examples, are the problem is not in what is said. Sometimes that is a problem. But more often than not, the problem is in what isn't being said.
I find that the greatest problem in these texts.
Okay, let's look at another example. And this one, again, a very popular praise and worship chorus is being used in many, many churches in that 20 minutes at the beginning of the worship service or that 20 minutes after the worship service. This one, performed by Michael W. Smith, is called Breathe.
It's by Marie Barnett. Is the author of the text.
Okay, if you would set it up for us before we hear the section we're going to play.
This is, at least as of August of this year, the 12th most popular song in American churches, this song by Marie Barnett. And, let's hear it. Let's just hear it.
All right. Yeah. This is Breathe.
This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence, living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very
okay, Leonard, your thoughts on this one, Breathe.
This is the air I breathe. Well, what? What is the this? Your holy presence living with me. Who is the you? And then again, notice that pronoun, with me, not with us. This is not a thing about us and the church. This is a very individualistic text. And this particular text combines two common elements that you find in contemporary Christian music texts. And one is that they're often very mystical. You can make them mean what you want. And there remains underneath it all this that we noticed earlier, that they're often almost a little bit romantic, a little, well, listen to this. And I'm desperate for you, and I'm lost without you. It's very, very almost erotically passionate.
So it's not that it simply expresses the Christian believer's heartfelt need of Christ and his saving work. It doesn't really even address what Christ and his saving work are, but it couches it in a language that would be as appropriate, again, for me talking to my wife in a moment of romance.
Or some mystic standing at Mount Shasta looking north to the Cascades in Oregon and having some experience with eagles flying around. Or, I mean, you name it. Anyone can make this mean what they want.
So, say, a Mormon could sing this.
A Mormon could sing this. A Hindu could sing this. A Jehovah's Witness. Anyone can sing this and simply fill in the meaning they want.
We're talking about popular praise and worship music tonight on Issues Etc. We are coming to you live this Sunday night, the 15th of October, day one of our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour here in Wisconsin. We're broadcasting from Luther Memorial Chapel in Shorewood, Wisconsin. Our call-in numbers, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We do want to hear from you. And our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. The best callers or emailers are going to get Leonard Payton's booklet called Reforming Our Worship Music. By the way, if you go to our website, you're going to find some great resources on worship music posted on the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. Go there now if you're near your computer, issuesetc.org. This break is a great time to call us, 1-800-730-2727, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back, this one has become a genuine chestnut. Lord, I lift your name on high. I do not worship at a church where this song is sung. I dare say I've been in one or two churches where this song has been sung. And for some reason, I know it. I know every word of it. It's everywhere. People are singing it all the time. And it's one of the more popular praise and worship songs being sung in churches on Sunday morning. Lord, I lift your name on high. We will evaluate this according to what Paul says about letting the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Arthur Just, on the Good Shepherd Institute, November 5th through 7th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We are dedicated to hearing and discerning the clear voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, through our attention to the preaching, the historic liturgies, the catechesis, and the hymns of the church that communicate Christ. We hold a yearly conference during All Saints weekend in which we explore these things. We're particularly interested in serving congregations and parishes, parish pastors, musicians, and other church workers, and also helping the laity to come to love and appreciate the treasures of our Lutheran faith and our Lutheran liturgy and our Lutheran life.
Join Issues Etc. as we broadcast live from the Good Shepherd Institute, November 5th through 7th, at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, look for the Good Shepherd Institute logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the importance of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and His saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Folks, whenever you hear about a natural or man-made tragedy, there's one relief agency I want you to keep in mind. It's called LCMS World Relief. LCMS World Relief is an international relief organization that is genuinely concerned with both body and soul. LCMS World Relief provides aid for victims of natural and man-made disasters, tsunamis, hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes. There are no shortage of these things in places like the Sudan, Kenya, and other third world countries, as well as here in the United States. For more information about LCMS World Relief, look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can donate to them by calling LCMS World Relief at 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438. Remember Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief. We're talking tonight with Dr. Leonard Payton about praise and worship music. Let's move on to another example. And this one I mentioned before the break, Leonard, is a genuine chestnut. It quickly has become one of those that's just out, it's like the air we breathe. It's out there in the atmosphere of Christian worship, and it's a very popular one. Before we listen to this little bit of Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, tell us here what to listen for.
Well, back in 1998, a reviewer in Worship Leader magazine said of this song, this is what he said, "More than an accessible and catchy praise song, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High accomplishes something priceless. It summarizes the whole gospel." And so that's what we need to listen for as we listen to this text. Does it really summarize the whole gospel? Does it say the gospel accurately? Yeah, I think we can listen to it.
Right, that's Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, a little bit of it. The better part of that summarizes pretty much the whole song there. Leonard, you said that the claim was made of this song that it summarizes the entire gospel. How do you think it does match up? I mean, it says you came from heaven to earth to show the way from earth to the cross, my debt to pay, cross to the grave, grave to the sky.
someone would say, there you go. You got the whole gospel in this thing.
Well, it's confused. For example, did Jesus really come to show the way? Is that the gospel? Here's the way. Go down this. You do this. You do that. And now you will be saved. For example, earlier on in the text, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. It's about what I do. And is the gospel what I do? For me, that's not good news because I'm not reliable. I need somebody outside me to do what needs to get done, and that's the Lord Jesus. So now we come back and we look at this text and we see how accurately does it talk about what the Lord Jesus has done? Does it speak of what the Lord Jesus has done in the gospel in the kind of crisp way that, say, Worship Leader magazine claims it would? You know, we have a tradition in the Christian faith of crisp statements of the gospel. For example, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, this is the gospel by which you are saved if you continue to believe it, that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose on the third day, and because he rose from the dead, we also will rise from the dead. That's the gospel as stated in 1 Corinthians 15, according to the scriptures, also Paul says, which happens to go into the creeds that the church has said for centuries and centuries and centuries, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. So now we come back and we look at this text. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. Okay, that's good. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. And so it concludes again with what I do, which is always problematic in stating the gospel.
So even if it does have, one might say, a somewhat confused but bare bones explanation of the facts of the gospel, it gives the gospel, such as it has, a place, at least in the text that I'm reading, kind of secondary. Jesus, you did this, that's good, but what's really important here is what I'm doing.
There again, see that that pronoun. It is I, it's me, it's this individualized religion and what I'm doing.
Someone's going to say, look, the reason that the gospel isn't so plainly stated in not only this, but even so many other praise and worship songs, is because the gospel's for the unbelievers, don't you understand? And these are Christians singing this. They already know the gospel.
May you and I hear the gospel every day till our dying day. It continues to save us. We need to hear those words, and we need to hear them clearly, and we need to not have the law and the gospel confused, as this text does.
So maybe another good response would be, well, St. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, Christians, seems to think it's very important that they not only know but also hear and believe the gospel when he writes to them.
Right, and even in the structure of 1 Corinthians, it's right down towards the end of the book. Here are these people that are fighting. They have divisions. They are completely enamored of the things that they can do with their spiritual gifts. And he gets down right to the end and says, what's really is important is this. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose on the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen. There were all kinds of witnesses. And because he rose from the dead, we will too.
Let's listen to one that I don't know what to make of this one. It's called These Are the Days of Elijah. If you would, just give us a little introduction, because this one is a bit confusing before we listen to this piece.
These are the days of Elijah. Well, these are the days of Moses, of famine and darkness and sword. These are the days of Ezekiel. These are the days of your servant David. In what sense is that? What can we possibly be meaning like that? Why don't we just listen to it, and then we'll see what happens with that.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of
famine and darkness and sore. Still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes.
Okay, it goes on there into the chorus. Leonard, I'm listening to this, I'm thinking to myself, I'm not quite sure if Jesus has come already or if they're anticipating him coming for the first time. Maybe a thoroughgoing Jew who is expecting a messianic visit might be able to sing this one pretty well, and not a Christian.
Well, I listen to these words. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Is it Moses that's restoring the righteousness? How is that happening? Did Moses die on the cross for our sins? So, yeah, you're right. I think a thoroughgoing messianic or a Jew could sing this, but probably not a Christian.
I imagine what the person intends to say is, it's the end of days. Christ is coming again. And they'd say, don't you know, Christ is coming again. That's what we're talking about. So what's missing here in this song that is ostensibly trying to herald the second coming of Christ and not, as it sounds, simply talk about maybe even his first coming?
What's missing here is the skill and accountability to come out and say exactly what needs to be said. And that is that we're talking about Christ. And I think the reason for this, Todd, I've pondered this any number of times, but in this kind of form, there's a certain kind of tyranny of the rhyme scheme. And if the poet doesn't have a great deal of theological alertness and a great deal of poetic skill, that's going to kind of funnel him down a certain road. So you've got to find something that rhymes with Lord. So you come up with restored and sword. But maybe that doesn't really make the best of sense.
And maybe it doesn't follow the Bible. Good thing the Bible is not written according to a clever rhyme scheme. There is no ambiguity and no confusion in our Issues, Etc. book of the month for October. It's a children's book, a picture book called The Apostles' Creed. It teaches the doctrine of the Trinity to your kids and your grandkids in a very simple, easy-to-understand way, centered upon the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. You can find out more about this picture book for young kids at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book is called The Apostles' Creed. It's $9.99 plus shipping and handling. And the number again, 1-800-325-3040. Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to hear, I think, one more. Lord, I give you my heart. We're going to take your phone calls and your email, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're broadcasting live from Luther Memorial Chapel in Shorewood, Wisconsin. Day one of our Wisconsin Issues, Etc. Reformation Tour.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith, culture editor for World Magazine, on the value of LCMS World Relief.
Well, you know, whenever I see news of a disaster or a terrorist attack or a natural calamity, I hear that just immediately they're on the front lines of this. And as a Lutheran, I feel so proud about that, not in a boastful way, but I feel happy that Lutherans care about the suffering of others, as our theology teaches us to, that we're to live out our faith in love and service to our neighbors.
LCMS World Relief provides Christ-centered, cross-focused care and concern. For more information, contact them at 314-996-1683 or look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The new I Have Issues t-shirts are available, and there's only one way to get one, by joining the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual donor program. You'll find the statement, I have issues, on the front of the shirt, and on the back, the Issues Etc. logo, our website address, and the slogan, Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian. Now, anyone who joins the Issues Etc. Reformation Club between now and the end of 2006 will receive the I Have Issues t-shirt, plus other membership benefits like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. Now, for more information on the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us reach our goal of 300 Reformation Club members by the end of the year. We'll also send an Issues Etc. t-shirt, travel mug, and pen to current Reformation Club members who upgrade their membership. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Ten more minutes left in our conversation with Dr. Leonard Payton in this hour as we talk about praise and worship music. You know, they won't be training lay people or pastors in the latest praise and worship music at the Good Shepherd Institute on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. No, the Good Shepherd Institute is focused on Christ-centered and cross-focused worship. For more information about the Good Shepherd Institute, you can call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, area code 260-452-2244, 260-452-2244, or you can look for the Good Shepherd Institute logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It is the premier worship conference of 2006, and we'll be there broadcasting live at the Good Shepherd Institute November the 5th through the 7th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Let's go to the phones and talk with Elizabeth in New London, Wisconsin, listening on WEMI. Hi, Elizabeth. What's your question or comment?
I am Catholic, and I'm Catholic, but my two children are Lutheran. And I think you had a great thing when you're talking about our Lord, our God, but when you talk about music, when you're a teenager, it's I, it's me, and it gets, Jesus gets into your heart and into your soul.
All right, Elizabeth, I think we got your point there. You're breaking up a little bit on your telephone line. Leonard, this is often said. Look, these teenagers, they're all about me, I. They're all very self-centered. This kind of music appeals to them.
You know, that was very much true of my generation when we were teenagers. I'm a baby boomer, I'll admit that. I am culpable. But I have noticed that my kids' generation, they're quite different. And if you'll notice, even if you watch them at their schools, at high schools and colleges, they have a big service component built into them. They have a sense of a need to belong to community and to make a difference for community. There's a kind of a heroism to them that there wasn't for my generation.
So could it be that the boomers in the church, who largely hold sway in the leadership of many evangelical congregations, are simply projecting their perpetual adolescence on the adolescence of today?
Sadly, I think that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even if it were appealing to teenagers today, Leonard,
mm-hmm.
would it be the right thing to do, the praise and worship music we've been talking about tonight?
No, that really is the harder question, but the answer to that is no, it would not be the right thing to do. It's yet one more part of training, of making a disciple, is helping a person realize that my life in Christ is not just me and Jesus. The big deal is I am being incorporated into the church, and it is in the church where I receive the gifts of Christ as part of the church, as a part of that community.
It's been my observation, and of course I grew up in the same generation that you did,
mm-hmm.
where we were taught to sing around the campfire these songs,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of my generation have said they want that campfire brought into the church, with
mm-hmm.
only about 30 seconds here. Is that a fair enough explanation for why we've gotten a crossless, Christless singing in our church and praise worship music?
Yeah, I think so. I think by default, we're Americans. We believe in democracy. Whatever the majority rule is, That's what's going to happen, and we bring it straight into our churches.
Let's talk with Bill in Ohio. He's listening on the Internet. Bill, thanks for listening on the Internet. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello. I just wanted to relate my experiences with praise and worship music. I had converted to Lutheranism about 2 years ago. I came from Assemblies of God Church. I had put in about 2-3 years there, and they use praise and worship music. And I had noticed what they would do is they would take praise and worship music for part of the service that had very simple words with very repetitive beats, and they would constantly repeat these refrains and things for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and they would almost create an altered sense of, it would cause the people almost create an altered sense of reality for these people, so that when you would see someone speaking in tongues or a prophecy, that it would almost be like a mystical experience for everyone. And
I think he put his finger on it. Mystical experience. You talked about that before. Respond to Bill in Ohio.
Well, Bill's point is a good one. That altered state. The thing that's interesting in his comment is that is about the repetition. That's often a flaw that people perceive in praise and worship music, is the amount of repetition. I actually don't think that that's a flaw in praise and worship music. The question is, what is it that you're repeating? Not that you're repeating. We repeat, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace. It's a question of repeating things that really shape you and mold you to Christ, not simply things that shape your feelings to the way you want them to be.
But there are many people who say that is worship. Worship is that state of mind, that state of emotion, that state of feeling that I achieve after 15 or 20 minutes of singing these praise and worship courses. That's worship.
That is true that they will say that. In that moment, then you have to ask, gee, are you actually teaching and admonishing one another? Because the Holy Scriptures tell us that's what we need to be doing with our music, with our singing together. It's not just something to make you feel some altered state.
Ben writes this from Obihiro, Japan, where he listens on the Internet. There are many contemporary as well as traditional musicians that have put musical settings to the Psalms. Do the Psalms have enough Christology to stand alone in song, or should there be correct teaching in the song to make it thoroughly Christian? How would you respond to Ben?
Well, Ben's got a point that goes back to our earliest Lutheran hymnody, and that is that when a Lutheran pastor would write a text on the basis of a psalm, for example, something like A Mighty Fortress coming out of Psalm 46, what happens is you don't just get a paraphrase of the psalm, but you get a little bit of the psalm and then some interpretation of it through the filter of Christ and Christ telling us what Christ has done for us. So, yeah, Ben's point's a good one.
So if we're going to use those Old Testament texts, we need to do solid interpretation of those texts, which is basically interpret them in light of the new, rather than leave them in the Old Testament.
Right. And in local practice and local custom, that can vary a whole lot. Luther, for example, thought that it was a very good idea right at the beginning of the service to sing an entire psalm called the Introit. Well, that's fine. Now you need to teach about it, too. Yeah.
Here's our mailing address and phone number to receive a complimentary copy of the Next Issues, Etc. journal, or to join our monthly or annual donor program called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. The address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or you can call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. The address again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or call that resource line number 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. 0172. Well, let's go back to where Paul writes to the Colossians, and he does this elsewhere too. He says in Colossians 3:16 that the word of Christ ought to dwell in us richly. What does that mean, folks? What is the word of Christ of which Paul is talking? What does he mean by the word of Christ? Is it I, me, my? Is it my feelings? Is it my desire or my want to praise God? Is it proper praise of God to say, I want to praise you? I'd like to praise you. I'm thinking about praising you. There are a lot of popular praise and worship songs that do just that. They talk a lot about praising God, and sad to say, they don't actually ever get around to doing it. Well, let's go back to what St. Paul says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts in thankfulness to God. The word of Christ is the word that proclaims Christ, proclaims the same Christ that Paul was proclaiming to the Colossians or to the Ephesians or to the Galatians, where he said, I am determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. Far be it from me, he says to those Galatians, to glory in anything. We might even paraphrase Paul and say, to offer any praise to God that is not Christ and him crucified for sinners. That's the word of Christ. It's also, by the way, the proper praise of God, to simply foretell, to speak back to God, the saving deeds of his Son, Jesus Christ, for us sinners. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.